All right, check it out. People online are blasting Vice President J.D. Vance for being suspiciously quiet after the Department of Justice released over 3 million Epstein files in the form of communications, emails sent and received from Epstein, certain photos on his laptop, all released out into the public. Now, a lot of this drug people who were close to J.D. Vance into the mix. People like Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary of the Trump administration. People like Elon Musk, who was exposed for lying about refusing an invitation to the island, but then we found out he was actually begging to go to the island and Epstein swatted it down. People like Peter Thiel, who was one of J.D. Vance's superheroes who helped him get where he is today. Of course, people like Donald Trump, like this email right here that says, wow, no one found this horrific Donald Trump mention in the Epstein files because it was a handwritten letter that wasn't properly indexed by the DOJ. How convenient. Well, we are about to read this letter right here because J.D. Vance is being, again, suspiciously quiet. The administration is quietly trying to remove things that were posted online, and we will not let them. Let's just go back to the beginning very, very quickly. J.D. Vance posted in 2021, in September of 2021, which is, I guess, about 4.5 years ago. He posted an article about Epstein and then replied, quote, remember when we learned that our wealthiest and most powerful people were connected to a guy who ran a literal child sex trafficking ring? And then that guy died mysteriously in a jail. And now we just don't talk about it. This was 2 years after Epstein reportedly killed himself in 2019 under Trump's first presidency, and J.D. Vance was willing to ask questions back then. But now, people are going viral for pointing out, I'm crying, dude. J.D. Vance and N-Wokeness haven't tweeted in days. Someone said, it's genuinely so funny that J.D. Vance hasn't posted at all in the last 4 days. Now, since then, he has posted, but he's only posted, quote, fantastic lineup for the TPUSA halftime show, including the great Bob Ritchie. Dude, what are you posting? Someone replied, hey man, can you comment on the new batch of Epstein files? Or maybe just this one 2016 email about the Epstein and your mentor, Peter Thiel, about Trump? I mean, please, just comment on this one email before you're tweeting about the fantastic lineup involving Kid Rock. Let's see. This email says, using a proprietary search tool, the New York Times identified more than 5,300 files containing more than 38,000 references to Mr. Trump, his wife, his Mar-a-Lago club in Florida, and other related words and phrases in the latest batch of the emails, government files, videos, and other records released by the Justice Department. This one says, Donald's New York supporters concerned. This was sent to Peter Thiel. Donald's New York supporters concerned. We can talk if you like. He cannot release his tax returns, so what are his options? This was in 2016. Peter Thiel and Jeffrey Epstein were talking about how Donald Trump cannot release his tax returns. Well, guess what else they do not want to release, did not ever want to release, and then were forced to, and are now trying to remove them. These Epstein files in particular, Brian Krasenstein points out, breaking, proof that the DOJ is scrubbing files with Trump's name in them. Today, there are 1,513 raw results for Donald Trump. Yesterday at 9:15 a.m., there were 199 more files with that exact same mention. People are tracking every single day and realizing they are doing this all in the public. They are removing this all in the public. It says, if they're doing this in front of us, just imagine what they're hiding behind closed doors. Today, there are 1,513 search results for Donald Trump. Yesterday, there were 1,712. They are very clearly removing things and scrubbing them. And then this is a cherry on top. Before we get to this letter that we're going to read in just one moment, I want to show you very quickly Donald Trump in the Oval Office accidentally referring to Jeffrey Epstein's island as Jeffrey's Island. He lets it slip. He says very quickly, Jeffrey's Island, and then corrects himself and says Jeffrey Epstein's. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe to help boost this message and take a listen.
Numerous times, and I don't think they want to see a shutdown either.
Mr. President, are you going to sue Trevor Noah last night in a post you alluded that something could be coming?
Yeah, well, he said that I spent time on Jeffrey Epstein's Island. I didn't. I mean, he's a lightweight, this guy. He's a terrible. I think he's terrible. I thought he did a terrible job at the Grammys. I thought the whole Grammys was terrible. I watched.
These guys always just beefing with celebrities because he can't cope with the fact that he was friends with the child sex trafficking celebrity Jeffrey Epstein. The Lincoln Project says, Jeffrey's Island. Seems worth noting that Trump is still on a first name basis with the biggest sex trafficker in our lifetime. Sorry, child sex trafficker in our lifetime, to be more specific. It's also really paramount to point out that even moments later, like the Epstein stuff is so incredibly dark and offensive and serious, and the victims and survivors need accountability, but the real-world consequences of decisions that he's making due to him losing his mind and being cornered about the Epstein stuff are also just so scary. So moments later, during his meltdown, he begins to talk about Vladimir Putin, and he says this.
There's tremendous hatred between Zelensky and Putin. Tremendous hatred. I mean, it's a shame, but it's taken longer than we thought. I did call up President Putin, and he's agreed, he's put it out to. They have the same cold wave that we do. Maybe different, because it's pretty far away, but it's the equivalent. And Ukraine's a very cold country. It's much colder than us. It's colder than, they say, on average, it's Canada or colder. And on top of that, they have a tremendous cold wave. And I asked him if he wouldn't shoot for a period of 1 week, no missiles going into Kiev or any other towns, and he's agreed to do it, so it's something.
Well, guess what? Right after Putin got off that phone call, he continued to shoot. This is the 10th time, maybe even 11th time, that Putin has launched an attack on Ukraine directly after getting off of the phone with U.S. Presidents, or like Trump, or people around Donald Trump. He continues to trick them. And somebody pointed out, I hope people understand what happened here. Yesterday, in the late afternoon, Trump said that Putin had promised not to attack Ukraine in such a way that it would damage their heating. Then a few hours later, that's exactly what the Russians did in a massive, massive attack. Add two and two together and what do you get? Trump is helping Putin by deliberately passing on disinformation in the hope of lulling people into a false sense of security, a false sense of safety, so they let their guard down. Once again, Trump is helping Putin kill Ukrainians, this time in a very, very direct way. To return back to the Epstein files, Thomas Massey reported, within hours of the Epstein files release, a super PAC funded by Israel First billionaires Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and John Paulson, who himself appears in the Epstein Black Book, bought another $800,000 of TV ads against me. I'll still win, but if I lose, it was worth it. Now, I do want to point out of the 3 million pages that were released, some of the allegations in those pages came from FBI intake forms where people could call and basically say anything. So the ones about Bill Clinton ritualistically sacrificing children and drinking their blood, I don't buy those ones as much as I do the ones about Trump and Calendar Girls and Epstein that are released, because those are actually corroborated by New York Times reports, by multiple people who saw these calendar parties happen. Many of the claims about Trump are rather plausible. Many of the claims about Bill Clinton beyond the rituals are plausible. Many, many things within this are plausible, but in the 3 million pages, there are mentions of people and allegations that aren't quite plausible. But with these, I want you to let me know what you think about this letter right here. Now, it's kind of hard to read, but it reads, Assistant U.S. Attorney, Southern District of New York, 1 St. Andrews Plaza, New York, New York, 10007, Jeffrey Epstein. My testimony places Donald J. Trump as a person involved in the sale of young women, it says sale right there, young women to the sex trafficking ring of Jeffrey Epstein and the Saudis. Your office knows me and knows my older brother, Raymond Merritt, I think it says Merrick, tried to offer me to him for sex when James uncovered some crimes he was doing. My brother Raymond was using the drug that wakes up females, and you were instrumental in getting that drug made illegal. I have started praying to you and your family. This is my testimony of the summer of 1967. Now, I just translated this, so I'm not struggling to read it anymore. It says, this is my testimony of the summer of 67, my last year of high school. I just recovered this memory. My time in New Jersey was so bad, I told my father and then blotted it all from memory. My father sent investigators to Seaside Heights, New Jersey, and found what I told to be true, including all the guns and ammunition stashed in the house. This is my testimony in school. So to summarize, she recalls being a student in Nashville when her brother returned from Vietnam, came to her school along with a random man, and allegedly planned to sell her to Jeffrey Epstein and the Saudis. She became pregnant very quickly and got married, and that motivated her to fight and escape the dangers. She describes family scenes with siblings, her protective mother, and an incident where her father had to run off the men who were trying to sell her. Then she says the plan was to sell her through Donald Trump to the Saudis. And this letter was in the files. The FBI had collected this letter. And this leads me to what Andrew Schultz said on his show the other day. Take a listen.
If you see it with your own eyes, you know exactly what happened. And there's something disgusting that's happening, not only in Minneapolis, I'm sure it's happening in other parts of the United States, where yes. It's ICE is... under the guise of security, right? Under the guise of safety, because that's what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? Is every time something horrific happens, they keep going, but look at the pedophiles we got. Look at the murderers we got. Look at all the violent criminals we got. I looked at the numbers. It's 5% of the people they deported are violent criminals.
Yes.
There's probably more pedophiles in the Oval Office.
If you bring up another fucking pedophile about deporting and you're not releasing the Epstein list, just shut the fuck up, all of you.
Thank you, Andrew Schultz. Very well said. I mean, this is someone who had Trump on his podcast and was buddy-buddy with him about a year and a half ago, and now he's calling him a pedophile, saying there's a pedophile in the Oval Office, and it's obvious what's happening here. It's obvious to anyone with eyes that this administration, people like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, want to call U.S. citizens, you know, protesters, domestic terrorists, while then running cover for the very people that were on Epstein's Island, were now in the Oval Office. I'm going to leave it there. I love you all. Make sure you subscribe below. I'll see you in the next video. And peace out. By the way, J.D. Vance needs to say something, anything about this.